On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen. Once a month, we get to talk with the folks from Arts Altoona, and that is in the person of Donna Gordy, who is the president of Arts Altoona, artsaltoona.org on the web. Donna, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Doug, so much for having us, as always.
And we get to talk with different people in the arts community, and one of them is here today. And would you introduce your guest?
Yeah, I'm very excited that Amanda Silvanus, who's the executive director of the Altoona Symphony Orchestra, is able to be with us today. There's lots of really exciting things going on with the symphony that she's going to kind of premiere with us today, and ways that the community can get engaged and enjoy the symphony, because it's not all hoity-toity or fa-da-la. It's really for everybody. To go and enjoy the symphony. And there's great opportunities to do it for some free opportunities as well. So, Amanda Silvanus.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you two. You are such strong supporters of the Altoona Symphony, so I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
And you can say with firsthand experience how much fun we have.
Absolutely.
We have a great time. We always have such dynamic performances. We have really high quality musicians. But above all that, we feel like a family and a community, and we're part of the community.
Well, you're going into the 98th season of the symphony, so somebody's doing something right.
We like to think so.
Yeah. And before we forget, we'll mention it a couple times throughout this, but on August 15th, you guys get to be part of the events in Hollidaysburg at Canal Basin Park. That's a free concert every year.
Free concert. And the Wolf Kuhn Foundation, Steve Sloan, Marie Little at the Hollidaysburg Arts Council, they are so passionate about bringing this event to our community each and every year because, you know, a concert, our average concert cost is about $36,000 per concert.
Is that all?
They're a high ticket item.
We'll circle back to that, as somebody once said.
So for them to have that support and commitment to bringing this free to the public, that's why we love to do these outreach programs and partnerships, because we feel that the Altoona Symphony Orchestra, being here for 98 seasons, we wouldn't have that except for the support of our community and the people who've been longtime supporters like Steve and Marie and both of you. So we're very excited for Canal Basin always. Music in the Berg is so much fun. So
yeah, and the thing that Donna alluded to and that we've talked about on this program before is people seem to think, oh, the symphony is for them swells, whoever them swells are. And the symphony is for everybody.
Up in their ivory tower, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the symphony really is for everybody. Exactly.
My grandfather was a huge fan of classical music. He thought that big band was noise. And, of course, my dad was coming of age during the era of big band, and he thought rock was noise. So it tends to be generational, but I can't say I'm an expert about classical music. I know what I like when I hear it. Some I like, some I don't, some I love.
Exactly.
And yeah. But you can say that about any type of music. Mm-hmm. And the problem I've run into when I try to tell people, hey, you should really go see this, especially when you do the free thing like August 15th, I wouldn't be that interested in it. It's not for me. It's like, go and find out. I mean, when you guys did the ballpark a couple of weeks ago for the America 250, that was fantastic.
And I have never seen a crowd so excited and passionate. And they were sitting on the concrete steps of the concourse.
Yeah, and we're all stuck inside under the concourse because it's pouring cats
rain
and dogs
shine.
Outside.
Yeah, the show must go on. And everything came together. And we have had so much positive feedback. We had a lot of the people who did the motorcycle ride, like a lot of the Harley people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were so into it. They loved it. They watched us rehearse earlier because the ride ended at the stadium. Mm-hmm. And so they were waiting around to get some of the, you know, snacks and stadium food and came in while we were rehearsing. And they were into it because this kind of Americana music is for everyone, especially. And that concert had so much of that music that even if you don't think you know classical music, you actually do. It's baked into our society and our culture in ways that you don't realize.
I used to use the one different example, but I'll use an example. If you like John Williams, well, who's John Williams? Do you like Star Wars? Do you like Indiana Jones? Do you like Close Encounters? Do you like the theme to NBC News? Any of that stuff could be viewed as classical music. I used to use Bugs Bunny cartoons mm-hmm. because that was most of us.
Yeah.
How we learned about classical music, whether it be the Anvil Chorus or something else.
The Marriage of Figaro, right?
Yeah.
The Barber of Seville.
Yeah. And people will sit there and go, oh, but that's – no, you like it. You just don't know you like it.
That's right.
I've run into people that have – I said, hey, I was at this deal at the Michler. Oh, I've never been there. Oh, you're not from the area? No, I've lived in Altoona all my life. I'm 70 years old. I've never set foot in the Mishler.
It's shocking to me. I know.
Why? It's like there had to be something, a movie, a play, something that you might have liked if you had only gone, a concert. It doesn't have to be classical. It could be anything. But to go out and see something like this, again, August 15th, it's going to be a preview of the 98th season. And the other big news about this is Maestro Nick Palmer had been with us many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was gone for a while. Teresa Chung was here as a conductor. Nick Palmer came back. He's been back how many years now?
This will be the fifth year back.
Fifth year. Mm-hmm. And he's retiring from this. I don't think he's like ancient or something. He just decided, okay, I'm doing too much stuff, right?
Yes. Usually, well, he had several symphonies. So he's from Charleston. I mean, he's originally from Boston.
For this.
But he travels for this. He had Lafayette. He had several different symphonies that he worked with and flew all over the country. He's worked with the London Phil. So he's in Europe at times
recorded
to do things like that.
Mm.
Exactly. So we feel so fortunate to have that level of musicianship and artistry coming to Altoona. And now he's at the point in his career where he's so established and successful. This is just a project that he is, I mean, he's still doing the Altoona Symphony because he cares about our area. He wants to leave the symphony in a really good position, like leading up to the 100th season. And he thinks about the legacy of maintaining this organization long term and how can we cultivate, you know, the arts scene and our cultural landscape in rural small town areas. So that's important to him personally. And so that's why, I mean, he remembers bringing his sons. He's got four sons. He remembers bringing them as toddlers. He was telling me a funny story about how his son, Oliver, who just did a concert with us last year, how he did something funny at the Dream Restaurant in Hollidaysburg. And his wife was so embarrassed. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was back in the 90s and early 2000s. So he's been coming here for, you know, 30 plus years that he has fond memories of this area. And so now it's a connection he has. It's his heart. He wants to be here for this area.
And now you're seeing the actor as a kid on TV. Probably more series than you realize.
Right, yeah.
But it's got to be difficult. I don't even know if I was going to hire somebody to do something like this. Well, number one, I'm not qualified to do it. But if I were, I wouldn't even know where to start. So where did you?
So our search process really originated that the board decided, like, we need to open this up. We need to find the highest quality candidate that we have to put it out there for, you know, multiple websites and things like that.
I mean,
that.
Do you go on Indeed or something and say, hey, we need a conductor?
What's amazing. There's, like, musical chairs and there's different websites that are specific to this and they are international. So we contained it that we wanted a nationally based candidate. But, yeah, these websites are international. And we did get certain resumes from overseas that we said, no, we want to keep somebody in the States. It was put out on these websites that were, you know, we're looking for our next music conductor, music director and conductor who will take us into the 100th season. And I think that was a really big draw that people can see if you are in this community that has had a symphony for so long. Clearly, there's passion there. This is not a new project. This is not, oh, it's, you know, 25
years. You don't have to rebuild
years.
Something.
No. And instead, you're kind of taking this legacy organization into their next 100 years. Like, that's really exciting. So we received, we narrowed it down to 65 submissions, and then we narrowed it down to 30, and then we narrowed it down to 12. And the board had selected a group of stakeholders, Donna included, through this process. People like the musicians, board members, people in the community who've been longtime subscribers and who have the artistic knowledge to evaluate them. We even had a subset of musicians who could evaluate these candidates on their musical authority.
Well, I like the idea that you included the musicians because they're only going to have to follow whatever the conductor is doing. So that kind of helps that they be comfortable with
they're
somebody.
They're very invested, yeah.
Yeah. When Nick Palmer was on with us, one of the years that we talked about this, I'm trying to remember, but how many symphony orchestras are there in the United States that have lasted as long as Altoona Symphony Orchestra?
Well, we like to say that we are the longest community orchestra, the longest running community orchestra in the United States, continuously running, because while there are many orchestras out there that are bigger city orchestras, we started out as a community strings organization. In 1928, it was just a group of violinists, string members who came together, bought their own music, rented a venue, And Russell Gerhardt, our founder, really believed that the people of Altoona deserved a symphony. And so he tried to grow the organization each and every year. And it was kind of like Isaac Mishler, that he had that passion that this community
vision.
Deserved. Yeah, they had the vision and that commitment that they weren't going to give up. And Russell Gerhardt, his wife played, his daughter played in the symphony, his sister-in-law played with the symphony. It was truly a family affair. And they had longtime musicians who stayed with the symphony for decades. We even have a portrait in our office. It's from 1947. There's a teenager towards the back named Barbara Weller Crane, who is still affiliated with the symphony. She played for decades and donated her services, in fact, always to the symphony. And she remembers going to the rehearsals with her father, who was one of the founders when she was a little girl. So that would have been like in the 1930s, 40s.
Wow.
And yeah, and so Barbara is still with us. She doesn't play actively. She retired, but she still does lessons for us. And she just did a concert 2 years ago with the Altoona Symphony League.
And she do those as fundraisers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the testament that so many people have that institutional memory of this matters to our community. And while there have been economic times that were much more pressure, they've maintained it and kept it going.
Well, I think in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was probably a little easier since we hadn't had the Depression. It
That's
was
right.
The Roaring Twenties, and it's and it, people may not realize, but yeah, Altoona was the boom town that we all wish it were again. Some irrationally, maybe, but with the railroad and everything else, it's just how big a community this was. To try something like that, I mean, there was more of a community to support it. To keep it going through the recession, several world wars, and everything else that has happened since then, that's the amazing thing.
That's the remarkable part of the story. And I always feel like I'm just a steward. I'm the most recent person who gets to help carry that legacy forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I always want to give credit to the families, businesses, and individuals who maintained that history for decades. I mean, when you look back at our photo albums, you can see Altoona Mirror articles from the 60s or 70s where they were sending invitations to the symphony ball. Right? I know. Trust me when I say I would love to bring that back.
It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendine. Donna Gordy of Arts Altoona is with us. Amanda Silvanus is the executive director of the Altoona Symphony Orchestra, coming up on their 98th year, August 15th, Canal Basin Park in Hollidaysburg for the free concert preview. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But as far as Arts Altoona, you have what going on, Donna?
So we just wrapped up our two summer arts camps. We had one that was for students in second, third, and fourth grades with an Ice Age theme. And I was able to get to the little final performance of that group. It was so fun to see those kiddos, and they had a really nice time. We just wrapped up the second one for grades 5 through 7, and that had a Star Wars theme. So we just mentioned Star Wars
John
here
Williams,
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing better. And so they did a really cool cool workshop. So we're happy to be able to do those. These were week-long, 5 days of the week, so the same kids participating day after day. What we have coming up, I'm really excited. A longtime friend of mine, Emily Evie, has her background is in theater from Juniata College Education, and she's doing a workshop for acting on getting to know your character. She's doing two different workshops, one for ages 13 to 17 on Saturday, August 22nd, and one for people 18 and up. Can be as far as you want it to be, and that's on August 29th. They both start at 10 a.m. Kind of bring your own lunch because they're going to be 5 or 6 hours long, depending on how many people there are, how many questions they have, how deeply they get into their characters and so forth. So it's a kind of a moving target on when to wrap it up. But I think it's going to be really exciting. if you are going out for auditions, how do you pick which character you really kind of want to go for? How do you present it? And the, and or once you're selected, how do you really develop that character? How do you get into the character? And you might learn some things about your own self along the way, too. So those are $60, again, presented by Emily Evie, who's fairly well known in the community in theater circles and so forth. We also have coming up our second annual Classic Tributes Live concert. Last year we had the Alter Eagles, and people had a lot of fun with that. It was really good music. This year we're bringing back the same group, but they are going to be performing as the Doobie Brothers and the Steve Miller Band. We did a little poll last year, and this is the combination that came to the top in people's selections. So that, again, is on August 30th. Which is a Sunday. It's in the afternoon. Well, no, it's 6 p.m. And tickets are doors open at 5. Concert begins at 6. The general admission floor seating is $40, but the VIP table seating, you have a table, you get to pick the 6 people that you want to sit with. It really is a nice, nice event. So we're looking forward to that.
We should mention that like many concerts, people say, well, who would pay that much to sit up front? There are people that will pay that much to sit up front. So those seats go fast.
They do.
The general admission, you can't wait until the last second, but if you want up front, you're going to have to.
Absolutely. If you want the VIPs, jump on it now. So, and all that's available, of course, at our website, artsaltoona.org. Also coming up, the Altoona Real Film Festival. We are now hosting that at the Arts Altoona Center in the Sanctuary, and that's taking place on September 19th. So information about that is on the website. They are currently seeking submissions of short films to participate. And so if you know any videographers, filmmakers, have them submit something special for students, recognition and so forth. And then our Chris Kindle Market, I keep mentioning, is in partnership with the Unter Uns, and that's coming up on November 21st. So we're looking forward to that. We're just starting to seek vendors for that. We're especially interested in finding vendors, since it's right before the Christmas season, to tie in with that kind of Christmas theme, what would be really nice gifts for people that are a little bit different that you can't find anywhere. We'll be partnering again, I believe, with the Holidaysburg German Club. They always bring so much to it. The Schulplattlers will be dancing again. And so it's always a wonderful event.
And you changed the hours slightly from last year because of vendor feedback and some of the people attending?
Correct. Last year it was noon to 4, I believe. The first year it was longer and it was dark and cold.
Yeah.
So we moved it up and they said, well, we really would like another hour. So we added an hour at the beginning end. So it will now start at 11 a.m.
Yeah. And I think it's the cold that's the problem, not so much the dark, because people had stuff that lit up at night. So it looked really cool, but it was stinking cool and or cold. So
right.
you would want to make sure that you can get inside and get warmed up, which you can do there because
right.
You're going to be selling some other stuff as well.
Absolutely.
So, and again, as far as the Real Film Festival, that's already on the Arts Altoona page, the same one for the Doobies and for the Steve Miller Band tribute. We'll put links on the podcast page of this program, which will be up on WRTA.com.
Wonderful. Thank you.
After you hear the conclusion of it today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also talking with Amanda Silvanus of the Altoona Symphony Orchestra, Executive Director. And we were talking about the fact that we're coming up on the 98th season. It will be Nick Palmer's last. He's going to do, what, 2 concerts?
3, if you count Canal Basin.
All right,
so we have him in August.
Counting. All right, so that's 3. All right.
December, we have him for his last holiday concert with us.
I kind of guessed.
And then the May Pops concert.
Mm-hmm.
He has
okay.
such a fondness for Pops. His symphony that he's going to retire from everything except his music festival in Boston and his Charleston Pops symphony, because that's his hometown now. So he still does Pops, but he does great Pops performances and has a really special one planned. This vocalist, Joan Ellison, she has estate rights with the Judy Garland estate to access all of her arrangements for orchestra. Wow. Yeah, from her catalog. So it's Doris Day, Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland, all of those kind of, you know, high. It's Joan Ellison sings in high fidelity. Mm-hmm. And the title's called It's Magic because it's a real big band feel and a lot of brass and, so, you know, some jazz sounding stuff. So it's really fun.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff in the area would almost be called not smooth jazz today, but light jazz.
Exactly.
Although at the time it was heavier jazz and it sort of evolved from that.
And some of the Great American Songbook kind of feel of, you know, those classics that everybody, you know, has heard and they've been in movies for decades. And
it's hard to beat
standards.
That, but it's not listening to a record or the radio, no offense. although I should have, I have skin in the game, I'll say that. But seeing it live is a lot different than just playing the record or whatever. It's why people still go to concerts, why during COVID we were so bereft that we can't go out and do anything. Here you have an opportunity to hear this stuff. And I look at the Pops concerts as sort of the gateway drug to actually classical, hard classical music.
It's a good way of putting it.
Because you get the idea. It's like, wow, you know, this stuff sounds good live. I wonder what would it sound like if I heard classical.
That's
so
right.
Find out that way. Something else, and I want to get into to the candidates a little bit later, but you mentioned something earlier that it costs on average $36,000 to put on one of these concerts, and I'm sure that there's somebody going, for what?
No, I know, exactly. Yeah, because this is – a lot of people have the misconception that this is volunteer musicians. Which
hey, kids, let's put on a show. I mean,
orchestras are wonderful.
The Gerhardt folks did that, but –
and they sound amazing, but this is next level, where unless you're really a musician, you're not going to tell a huge difference between the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and the Altoona Symphony Orchestra. These are, and some of them have played for Pittsburgh and Philly and, you know, a lot of the major orchestras, but these are professionals who are, you know, highly trained. And that's what costs money. So it's not an organization that has volunteers. These are all professional musicians. And that adds up, even though they only have three rehearsals to perfect their performance.
Got to pay the band.
Yeah, that's right. And venue costs. I mean, we run an arts nonprofit. So we're thankful for our sponsors and our donors and our annual campaign, all those individual people. That's what makes it happen. But yeh, coming together, like ACT will be in the Mischler for 2 weeks. Like preparing for a performance. Mm-hmm. We're in there Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday morning. That's it. Because, a lot of our musicians are professors, but a lot of them have doctorates in performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we compensate them fairly and competitively.
But also you have to pay for the rights for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and we have to rent music. We buy music. We do have a library. We have 98 years worth of music. So a lot of those pieces we are performing from our library, but we have rental costs and all the things that go into that kind of performance, as well as a conductor. You know, he's part of our cost as well.
I just get the feeling that people think it is the let's put on a show and all get together and do this. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. The world doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and
let's put a car together and let me drive it. No, nobody would think that.
Yeah, I feel like people fall into two camps. There's the people who look at the symphony as for rich people or, I'm not a symphony person. Like, I wouldn't know what to wear. And I often say, this is Central PA. You're going to see a camo hoodie at the Mischler, and we're cool with that. Like, we want everyone to come to the symphony. But so some people are intimidated or just think it's not for them for that reason. And then I think there's a certain smaller segment of people who don't think it's the high enough caliber that it's worth it. That they're like, if I want to go see the symphony, I'll go down to the Kennedy Center. I'll go to D.C. I'll go to Philly. I'll go to Pittsburgh. And I have heard from many people telling me, like, I had a subscription to Pittsburgh, you know, Symphony Orchestra when we lived there, and this feels the same. We are really fortunate to have this in our community, and I always want, it's like a hidden secret that I'm trying to tell people about.
Here's a suggestion. Instead of going to the Kennedy Center or the Philharmonic somewhere else, take what you saved on travel expenses and make a donation.
Get a subscription.
Yeah, you do season...
Yes, we do season subscriptions. Yeah, and that's what we always try to get people to be interested in as well.
It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, Donna Gordy from Arts Altoona, Amanda Silvanus from Altoona Symphony Orchestra here. Donna, there are some other things coming up in the community you want to talk
about. Oh, there's tons of things going on, even though it's summertime. One of my favorite things is the concerts on the lawn at Baker Mansion. Sundays, not every Sunday. Coming up on tomorrow, July 26th, is the Altoona Community Band. And again, that's 2 p.m. on the lawn at Baker Mansion.
And by the way, they were really good before the symphony at the ballpark.
They were a great warm-up act.
They were so great.
Dan Klingbeil was just it, yep. And everybody there, thank you.
Yep. And he did double duty that day. He's our equipment manager. Yeah. So he was running around getting us there, getting us going, and then stepped on and did
them
his own
out
performance.
And getting you set up.
That's right.
Amazing. Okay, so there's that.
Yeah. On August 2nd is Acoustic Express. On August 9th, one of my favorites is the Altoona Brass Collective. Mm-hmm. On the 16th is Firewall. And on the 30th of August is the 46th Pennsylvania Regiment. And that ties in with their Civil War weekend that's happening that weekend. And another part of that weekend is Saturday evening. Jared Frederick, a longtime friend, is going to be doing a walking tour with Civil War sites related to Altoona sites related to the Civil War. And that starts at 7 p.m. and moves from Levity around town and across to the Railroaders Museum, I believe. So you need to sign up for that in advance. Jared's talks have sold out in the past.
Repeatedly.
So mark your calendar for August 29 for that and sign up. And then Altoona High School students will be doing a concert on September 13th as well at Baker Mansion. Altoona Community Theater is doing a really wonderful play, Come From Away. Their auditions are tomorrow and Monday, July 26th and 27th. Kate Wolf is directing this. This is based on the real-life happenings of September 11th when planes were diverted, the U.S. airspace was closed down, and planes were diverted, many of them, to this little teeny place in Canada called Gander. And people, flights from all over the world ended up there, and this small town somehow pitched together to find places for everybody to sleep, find something for them to eat, got their medical needs met. Wow. And it's just an amazing, inspiring story.
They basically played host to the world for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With no notice.
People couldn't speak speak their own language. And of course, Canadian English is a little different from our English anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a wonderful story. So if you have any interest in auditioning for that, please do so. Drug and Alcohol Prevention has been doing free movies, family-oriented, all over the county and with many partners. I'm not going to go into details about that, but follow the Blair Drug and Alcohol Partnership Prevention Facebook page or website. Several of them, unfortunately, have been canceled due to way too hot, too much rain, and now more recently, the fallout from the Canada wildfires.
Mm.
Crescent Lake Playhouse is doing Mean Girls, so gather up your girlfriends and go see that.
That's, for those that don't know, Tina Fey did turn it into a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Broadway.
Yeah, it's great.
That's July 28th through August 8th. I mentioned before the dancers, the German dancers that have been part of our Chris Kindle every year. They're doing a fundraiser at the Unter Uns on August 2nd. Their Summerfest, and it's the Almarashul Plotlers. I'm
easy
never sure if I'm
say.
Saying that correct or not. The band playing is out of Pittsburgh, I believe, Madel Jaeger. And you can have an all-you-can-eat hot dog dinner for $10 or just attend the event for $5. But I want to support our partners and friends there. The Altoona Community Theater, again, is doing their Penguin Project, and this is where they work with students with mostly intellectual disabilities and pair them with a student who serves as their guide and their mentor. They are doing Shrek the Musical Junior on August 8th and 9th at the Altoona Area High School at 2 p.m. each day. I've been to some of those productions in the past, and they are just so amazing to see those young kids up there who generally are not included in many activities to be able to do that. And then back to our tie-in with America's 250, Fort Robertdale will be doing their Revolutionary War Days on August 15th and 16th. So lots more information on their website and Facebook, of course.
And there's a place that I'm sure a lot of adults have not been to since they were in elementary school.
Right.
Same with Baker Mansion. Yeah, I went there when I was a kid. I don't have to see it again.
Yep.
You might want to go and see it again.
You might. It's totally different displays, totally different experience.
Robertdale hasn't changed too much, but the displays have. And, of course, the Baker Mansion displays change on a regular basis.
Yeah, for Robertdale, they've added the Mountain Lion Observatory. They've now added an exhibit where you overlook the actual lead mines, which is why the fort is there to begin with. They've added something new and different every single year for the past several years.
You know what the pain of that is, though? Every time they have something, and we get the little PSA, the public service announcement, and, oh, we're going to have one of these observatory nights at Fort Robertdale. I can guarantee you it's going to rain.
Oh, exactly.
It's going to pour buckets.
Oh. So, believe me, we're frustrated, but the folks putting it together are a whole lot more frustrated.
Oh, I would imagine. Although I think the last time they did it, it did not rain that particular time. Mm-hmm.
They've gotten a couple in over
fingers
here.
Crossed.
Fingers crossed. Other things to make mention of, Tyrone, they have their concert Sunday nights at 6 at Reservoir Park.
Right.
And you can check WRTA.com on the events page. You can see who's going to be there for those. And something that you were working on, we're going to have on the next program, is somebody talking about the 25th anniversary commemoration for 9/11.
September 11th, right.
Yeah, this is something they do every 5 years, though. It's amazing.
They
to
have
me.
Been doing that, yes, keeping up. And interestingly enough, many of those celebrations were at Simpson Temple United Parish, which is now the Arts Altoona Center.
Yeah.
But it's outgrown it the past two times, at least. And it's at the Jaffa, who recently experienced quite a tragic set of circumstances with some destruction. But, we're looking forward to that. And hopefully our next show will be talking in more detail about that.
Yeah, and I'll just say this about as far as the Jaffa, and this is just me speaking personally, and I'm if you agree that's fine, but I'm just thinking the person behind this, I hope they get the help they need. I hope they get the justice they deserve, and I hope that the Shriners get the support from the community that they deserve based on all they have done for this community. The Shriners hospitals and all the stuff. They ain't just driving around little cars for their health.
Right.
They're doing it for kids' health.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
So they do a lot for the community, and it was terrible to hear about what happened there at the Shrine. And,
tragic on so many levels.
Yeah, and I don't think I want to see any photos until after it's all taken care of. It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendine from Arts Altoona, Donna Gordy, who's the president, Amanda Silvanus is executive director of the Altoona Symphony Orchestra. And there's some events that the orchestra is going to be involved with this summer.
Yes, our summer discovery series continues on, and we love to do these small public free concerts. They're so fun for us. We get out of the Mishler and into the community. So the next one we have coming up is The Railroader's Life at no better location than the Railroaders Museum of Pennsylvania. So we have a program that brings together like the music of the rails and Central PA, and like that's so much of our history. And we're really excited to be a part of the Downtown Art Walk that day. We have a lot of events going on in the downtown, and you can go over the walkway to see us at the Railroaders Museum at 11 a.m. So we're excited for that on August 8th.
And there's going to be what you're telling me off the air,
different things downtown
where
you can walk
happening.
Around. We have some like they're going to have sidewalk chalk murals and like you can go down and see SAMA, the Southern Allegheny Museum of Art.
Their 50th anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. So you can have
murals,
some art
and Gables
and
will be there.
Right, on the
exactly,
Gables building.
Yeah.
That's not exactly through Arts Altoona, but you guys helped with that?
We were involved with the process, right. But it's primarily the city and Jamie Faust, who's the new Baser, who's the new city manager there, putting that together with our assistance.
How many different artists that have you had in that? Do you know offhand?
So there are 20 that were selected out of nearly 70 that applied, and many of them have their murals complete, but they are all supposed to be done by the end of July. But, yeah, some of them are just amazing.
They're beautiful.
If people haven't driven through downtown Altoona, go down 11th Avenue, stop your car, and get out and look at these.
Yeah,
they're
I've seen people
wonderful.
Still working on them. So.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and by the 8th, I think that's what you can go downtown and see that artwork. Sam had just presented one, like they mounted it on the side of the building, and it's absolutely beautiful and kind of has a tribute to Altoona, where you see like the original Sheets Quick Shopper, the Mishler Baker Mansion. It has all these little vignettes that are a tribute to our local community. So check those out on the 8th. Then you can walk over the bridge and get some great music. It's not just Oh Susanna. That's what people should think of. It'll be more than that.
I would hope.
Yeah, Stephanie Everett always puts these little programs together with a theme, and just as a teacher of 30 some years, she makes it educational and fun. You learn a little bit.
She's listening and said, "Oh, I was going to include Oh Susanna. Drat! Now I got to get rid of it."
Yeah, so she has these great programs that always have a wonderful theme. So that's the Railroader's Life on August 8th, and the next weekend you can see us at Canal Basin. This concert is special. Usually we preview our upcoming season.
Which is what I thought it was,
yeah,
and what I said it was, and it's not.
But we pulled a fast one on you, Doug. We're doing a themed concert. It's Music in the Burg, and then we call it Family Summer Celebration, because we want families to get their kids out to the symphony. It's a great low-pressure way to get your kids hearing that kind of classical music and pops music. But this is called From Hogwarts to Honky Tonk.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, you say, what is that? So we have a lot of magical themed programming at the beginning, including a lot of the music from Harry Potter, which people just love, and a lot of young people, you know, have grown up with it. It's, again, John Williams. It's classic, and it appeals to so many different people. And then the second half of the performance, we have some country music. Pennsylvania, you know, what loves country music, and so we want to be a part of that. We were thinking of 9 to 5 and how excellent that music was, so we have one of the performers from 9 to 5, Mallory Yarwood. She's going to be part of that, and she's going to be singing some, you know, songs, and with Davey Byer. He has also performed with the symphony before, like Islands in the Stream, and some duets, and some single pieces, but then some other fun pieces. So,
as often heard on the Legends of Country 96.1 Hank FM, we'll get a plug in. A shameless plug, but I'll get it in.
Yeah. So yeah, we're really excited for a concert that feels like it'll show people what all the symphony has to offer. Because, again, like we said earlier,
the diversity.
People tell me, "Oh, I don't think I'm a symphony person." And I say, "Well, you're just wrong." But you are. I think you are a symphony person. We beg to differ. Yeah,
right.
That's right. Okay. We'll change your mind.
So Nick Palmer is going to be at that one.
Yes. Yes. So we'll have Nick.
But again, for those who didn't hear earlier, he's retiring from the Altoona Symphony Orchestra after another five years, second tour. And so he'll be there, the holiday one at Christmas, and then the Pops concert in May. And then that's the end, and you'll have somebody new coming in. You have several candidates. You said you started with, 65? You got it down to 4 or 5?
So we're down to 4.
Okay.
And all 4 of these candidates are just so acclaimed, and, you know, some are internationally recognized. We feel like any one of these 4, we would be in good hands.
All right.
And I named the season New Perspectives, because each of these candidates is going to be bringing their unique vision of what they think the alternative Altoona Symphony should look like in the next couple of years moving forward. It's really like a new time for the arts, and we're excited to hear each one of them has a different program. They were encouraged to, you know, we gave them a guest artist in one piece and said program around that. So they've come up with their own unique program. So our first in September, we start out with Maestro Isaac Celia. And he's done opera, he's done symphony, he's really a really smart guy, really wonderful to speak to, very high energy and dynamic.
From Columbus?
Yes. So he's from Ohio, and he's going to be doing the magic flute. He also has a piece, we don't have it listed yet, but it's from Dragonborn, from Skyrim. It's this video game music. And his program is called Quests, because he feels like you get that theme, and it carries over from the music that we think of as classical, like Mozart, but then the contemporary compositions, like in video game music. So he has a piece from that.
Well, it's not the same as everybody else, you have to admit.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so we kind of show off this variety of programming. And then he has Brahms' Fourth Symphony as his masterwork that he's going to be doing.
All right. And that one is Saturday, September 26th at the Mischler.
Mm-hmm. And then Maestro Scott Seaton is our other fall concert, Saturday, October 24th. And we have, you don't usually hear the viola being a featured guest artist. It kind of, you know, is in the shadows a little more. You hear more of like violin solos. But we have such an excellent principal viola, John Roxburgh. He is so amazing and he's such a great guy. So we're featuring him on two different pieces, Max Bruch's Romance and Paul Hindemith's Trauer Music. And then Scott really felt like in looking back over our past repertoire that we had not had enough Sibelius, who is my my personal favorite symphony is Sibelius V. So I was really excited to see this. He's what people think of as more of the contemporary classical composers, not back, you know, in the, you know, classical era of like Mozart or, you know, Bach, Beethoven. Sibelius is more contemporary. He's turn of the century. So we're really excited to feature his second symphony. That'll be exciting for October.
Mm-hmm.
And then in March, then we have our spring two candidates. And one is a familiar favorite to our patrons. Rebecca O'Brien, Maestro Rebecca O'Brien, did our holiday concert in this, I think, Christmas 2024. So she's coming back. She's one of our candidates, and she is a local gal. She lives in State College. So we're really excited, and she's very, very excited to be performing with us again.
Yeah, director of Indiana University of Pennsylvania and also with the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra.
And New York, yeah. She's done so many. She has such a great breadth of knowledge of regional orchestras and different guest positions. She also started her own music festival for women that brings women to musicians together. And, you know, creates movement and how their bodies and movement and their, you know, whole package affects how they play and what they bring to the performance.
Yeah, but I noticed on this piece there, she's got one from Aaron Copland and one from Dvorak. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not making a decision for you, but cast a vote that direction for her.
I know. Her program is going to be a crowd pleaser. That's what I think, because people love Fanfare for the Common Man. Copland is always like everybody knows it. You
Promise
recognize
is too short.
It. Yeah, exactly. And then Samuel Barber Adagio for strings. People that I always think of, that is the saddest song that exists. It is so moving. It has been used. I think Apocalypse Now, it was featured in that. I think it's
going along with the thing of, yes, you do know the music. You just don't
know
the name
music.
Of it.
Exactly. It's as soon as you hear that, if you Google that music, Samuel Barber Adagio for strings, you will know that it's an iconic piece and it is absolutely beautiful. It's very slow. I mean, it's actually really difficult to play. So I think that's an exciting one to hear. I mean, then she does Dvorak Symphony 8. We haven't had that for a while, and that's a really popular one. And then we're featuring our concertmaster, Hanaro Medina, and his wife, Layla, on the guest artist performance. They're going to be doing Concerto for Two Violins in A Minor from Vivaldi. So that's a bunch of really excellent pieces. And then Maestro Suhan is in April. And we love Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade is another piece that you've heard it so many times. You will recognize it. You'll feel like, oh, what do I know this from? But it's in our culture and it's become part of that music that's like the soundtrack to our lives. It's really exciting. His is called Symphonic Fantasies.
From Elkhart County Symphony, Elkhart, Indiana, and also George Mason University, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah. These all four candidates are not just highly accomplished. All four of them are lovely people. And through the interview process, as our board and our stakeholders got to know more about them and interact with them, they are excited to come here. I think Isaac even mentioned to me, I can't wait to try Altoona pizza.
Oh,
so they've been doing their homework.
We don't want to scare them off.
No, not yet. Yeah. But I was so excited that they're really invested in coming to this place. Like clearly Rebecca, you know, this is her hometown. It's in her backyard. So she's excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, even our candidates that are coming from further away, they've looked, you know, at what the Altoona
done
Symphony.
Some research, right?
Yeah, they have. They've done their homework, and they're really excited to come and be a part of this symphony community.
How do you choose between those people, though?
How do you choose? Mm. I know. So we're going to be asking the audience to help us. Of course, we're going to have, you know, our board, our staff, and our musicians all are going to be part of that, you know, process. But the board also wants feedback from the community. So we're going to be putting a QR code in our programs where you will be able to give us feedback about each candidate as well. And we also have an opportunity to get up close and personal. They're called, we have events that are after each concert. They're called Conversations with Candidates. So if there's a question you have, if you want to talk to them, if you want to ask them more about their background or what they think the future looks like, you can join us after each concert at the BCAF boardroom right next door to the Mishler. Come over for some light refreshments and some community fun and to get to talk and know these candidates. So we're really excited for a very dynamic and transitional season for the symphony.
Do you get to do a feedback on each one, or you hold your vote until the end of the year?
No, each one. Yeah, each one you'll have the same set of questions where you do the QR code like with your phone, and it'll take you through a Google form where we'll collect feedback from everybody. And that'll be part of their scoring and how, like, the rubric that goes along with their performance and how they've interacted and performed overall. So
that's anonymous, or?
It is anonymous. Yes, yeah. Exactly. You're just giving us your feedback.
So you're just trusting that their mom isn't going to send in five of them.
Hey, I believe everybody gets one turn on the QR code. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Anything else we have not mentioned here that we ought to, aside from the fact that come out to the symphony on August 15th?
August 15th, from Hogwarts to Honky Tonk. I mean, I'll leave it with that. Yeah.
Canal Basin Park. Make sure you wear a hat with a brim
music.
Because the sun comes over
yeah,
while
it's
on.
Yeah, bring your lawn chair.
We'll sunblock and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll hopefully have some snacks there with the Symphony League, possibly. Mm-hmm. But it's a wonderful day. It's at 6 p.m. So the sun starts setting. And then, I mean, we've had up to like 500 or 600 people there in the past. Mm-hmm. But if it's just a beautiful night, we have such a great community feel.
We have about a minute left. Mention the Symphony League, what they are and what they do.
So the Altoona Symphony League is going through a restructuring. They're an organization that's been around since the 1950s. They support the symphony. That's their role. So they are restructuring now, trying to gain a new membership and expand because they really do help us bring to life what we do, and they're so important. So
it's
there's
like
more
the
information.
Altoona Curve Boosters.
Yeah, exactly. They're a booster. They're our auxiliary organization.
Membership organization.
So
right.
Yeah, even there, sometimes people just join as a member to send in their support financially. Some people are really active and help us out. Some people just support us financially, but either way, they help us bring things to life.
All right.
I have one more thing to say.
Yes.
There is a phenomenon known as collective effervescence. It's the feeling that you get when you're in a big crowd of people and something happens to bring everyone together, usually a performance, music, some kind of uniting element. It's that feeling of, oh my gosh, what did we all just witness?
Mm.
That's why you come to the symphony, because when you are in a crowd and you see that, you will never experience that same performance ever again. It's a one of a kind, and live, you're exactly right, to hear it live is different. So we encourage everyone to come out, experience that collective effervescence, and get that feeling, because everybody stays in their house, you know, after COVID, but we have so many things that Donna mentioned in our community, people that say, oh, you know, there's nothing to do around here. Again, I'm just going to say you're wrong. There's plenty to do here. You just have to look in the right places. So, yeah. Come to the symphony and come to all these arts events. We have a lot to offer.
Amanda Silvanus is Executive Director of the Altoona Symphony Orchestra. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep.
Thank you.
Donna Gordy from Arts Altoona.
Thank you always, Doug.
Podcast up in just a few minutes at WRTA.com.